All right, let's get started this morning. Our main passage we're going to read, David Sanchez, if you'll get 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. 16:13. Tony, if you'll get Luke 24:49. IL, Acts 9:17. Will Shear, Acts 2:38. And then lastly, Brian Mitchell, Matthew 13:12. Okay, so I want to look today at the idea of anointing. Pastor Greg has defined anointing as divine effectiveness. Anointing maximizes our efforts. When you have anointing, it makes what you do supernaturally impactful, beyond what you could accomplish on your own, whether that's personality, people skills, talent, ability, etc. It takes it far beyond what you could accomplish on your own. So in the passage we're going to look at this morning, David was anointed by Samuel. It was a physical act, something that was exercised in the natural, but through that physical act, he was anointed spiritually. Something happened. It was happened by the power of God. So let's look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah.
Okay, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. So let's talk about this divine effectiveness. Let's talk firstly about the need for anointing. What we need to accomplish what we have been called to do, what we need is anointing. Jesus told the disciples when he was going to ascend into heaven and they would be witnesses of him, he said, you will do that, but you need to wait until you are anointed, until you receive the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49.
Oh, that's me. I will send you what my Father has promised, but you must stay in Jerusalem until you have received that power from heaven.
Okay, so stay in Jerusalem until you have received that power from heaven, his translation says. New King James, until you are clothed with power from on high. So what you need to do, what God has called you to do, what you need to accomplish that is power, heavenly power that only God can deposit. Let's read Acts 9:17.
So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here, Saul was chosen by God. As we know, on one part of the story, Saul is knocked from his horse. He's now blind and has to be led by the hand. And Lord, what do you want me to do? All of this is transpiring. But then Ananias, God is speaking to him. I need you to go. I need you to go pray for this man named Saul, and that he'll receive his sight and baptize him and get him filled with the Holy Ghost. So before Saul could step into what God had chosen him for, before he could begin to even accomplish this great work that God had for his life, what was going to make that impactful was anointing, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, David. Now, in our passage where we're reading, he needed anointing for what was ahead. So what was ahead for David when Samuel is anointing him? I'm asking, what's ahead?
Leadership.
Leadership is ahead. Yes, he's going to be king ultimately. But what else is ahead?
Problems.
What's that?
Battles.
Battles are ahead. So he's going to need anointing for that. What battle in particular was ahead?
With the giant.
Yes, with Goliath. What else was ahead? Running from Saul was ahead. Trouble, pressure. What else was ahead?
His brothers.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, his brothers and working through that, yeah. But we don't need anointing for that, right?
Yeah, family problems.
Family problems, yeah, that goes in hand with what he's saying. What else, though? Yeah.
He was training men.
Okay, yeah, and that would ultimately, in that leadership role, what else? Right,
He's about to come up with songs and inspire God's word.
Okay, he's going to come up with songs that inspire God's word, but in that vein, he's going to minister. Be in ministry to Saul, right? So, and all of this is going on, right? These are the things ahead for his life. These are the things at work. And God says, you're going to need something. You're going to need something beyond yourself in that hiding. You guys talked about gathering men, training men. In that hiding, he's able to gather and train men. All of these different things. For David's life, he needed anointing. So this is still our need today. We need a supernatural touch in order to see people converted. Right? This is now for us. We want to see people not just praying a prayer, converted. We're going to need anointing. If we want to see people healed, we are going to need anointing. If we are going to see people delivered, we are going to need anointing. If we are going to see people filled with the Holy Ghost, we are going to need anointing. If we are going to be disciplers of men, you're disciples today, but in order for you to be a discipler of men, you need the Holy Ghost. You need anointing. So let's think secondly about what anointing is not. It is possible to mistake anointing for other things. And so let's think about what anointing is not. Number one, anointing is not professionalism. Right? We do things we strive for a professional level in everything we do. I mean, it is very, our time, we're organized. We have incredible sound systems. We have incredible lighting systems. We have incredible screen systems. We have incredible actors in our congregation. We are focused on details. We highlight and work very diligently on our online platform, our website, our app, our advertisements, etc., etc. We use those things, but they aren't what makes something anointed. Right? It's not like, you know, the right lighting with the right smoke, with the right backdrop. Oh man, people are going to respond. That's not our confidence in the supernatural dynamic. But the mistake is sometimes people elevate professionalism. If we can just be at an even greater level, then people will want to come. Then people will want to stay. Then people will want to get involved. Professionalism is not what makes something anointed. Others focus on talent. Well, if we have the best, if we have the best looking, if we have the best ability, if we can draw in the best names out there and they could be part of our church or organization in some way, if we get the most talented, then people will want to come, get saved. No, again, we strive for an excellence. We have incredibly talented people in our congregation, but talent is not what makes something anointed. Because how many of you know, talent comes a dime a dozen. Right? I've seen some incredible shows in New York. I've seen incredible shows on Broadway. Not once have I ever thought, man, I want to get saved. There's talent everywhere. There's talent comes a dime a dozen. Talent is at work. That is not what makes something anointed. Others think then charisma. They can exchange charisma for anointing. It's the right personality. It's the exact people skill. It's your aura. It's your confidence. Again, those things are helpful. Right? You can't be a grump and win people. I mean, you can't be rude and critical and people are going to gravitate to you. No. Those are helpful. Those are good skills to learn and develop, but they are not anointing. That is not what makes something supernaturally effective. Finally, and I think one of the biggest ones is emotionalism. People that focus heavily on emotions so that it, and then you equate that with anointing. We cried. We felt a heaviness. It was overwhelming joy. It was worship, worship, worship. We just couldn't get out of it. But it was high emotion. It was high emotional experience. Again, we have emotions. And, you know, sometimes, yes, we describe things. I felt, I sensed, you know. That's not to throw them all out and become a robot, but it isn't an indication of anointing. It isn't what makes something last, right? Emotions fade. Emotions are passing, and sometimes very fast. I felt it in the altar when we were worshiping. I felt it when we got into the trance and the mantra of the repeated chorus. But then you left mad because someone offended you. Right? But then, you know, things happen, things change, and sometimes very quickly, and emotions fade. But anointing has a shelf life. So I remember Pastor Greg in Serious Men's classes in my discipleship saying, you cannot manufacture anointing. You can't make it. You can't create it of yourself. It can't be made by human will or ability. Anointing is given by God. Let's read again 1 Samuel 16:13. Just go ahead and read it again. I don't think I handed it out.
Okay. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward.
Okay, so he does this act that God has called him to do. Right? Samuel is obeying God, and this physical act unlocks a Holy Ghost dimension. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Other translations say the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. Another translation, the Spirit of the Lord powerfully came upon David. It was given by God. It's something from heaven. It's something from God, not something we create or manufacture, not something rooted in our professionalism, talent, charisma, or emotions. We have to have God involved in this. So let's close. Let's talk then about getting anointing. So how do we get this then? Well, number one, we have to understand and recognize where it comes from and why. Why we need it. So number one, it comes from God. And why does God give us this? Because he wants to help us. It's a gift. Anointing is a gift from heaven. Let's read Acts 2:38.
Peter answered them, "Every one of you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift."
Okay, then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. Of course, that is a baptism is what he's talking about. But the baptism is the anointing. That's what Jesus told them to wait for. You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You're going to do all of these things. But you're not going to do it without supernatural power. You're not going to be able to accomplish it without the anointing. Passion isn't enough. Passion and zeal isn't enough. You need the gift. And so now Peter is preaching. He has received the gift. And in a sermon that he declares off the cuff, he is preaching by the Holy Ghost in that moment. People are saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. In one day, how do they know? They counted them. They responded. They knew. It was public, but that was the anointing. Where does it come from? It comes from God. It comes from the Father. Stay here, and the promise of the Father will come. The gift of the Holy Spirit, that is where it comes from. God gives it to us to help us. So that means then we can ask for it. Right? We can ask for it. We can contend for it. And one of the ways we do that is, yes, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Here in our main passage in 1 Samuel, Samuel goes to David. He is anointed the prophet of God. He has the Spirit of God in his life. And he puts his hands on David and anoints him. We do that today. When we lay hands on people and pray for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, it's the same picture. It's the same idea. It's just less messy. Right? And we're not using oil today. Because now it is supernatural. It's in the Spirit. And so then, number one, how do you get it? You get filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask God for anointing to be at work in you daily. A supernatural dimension. God, give me that in everything I do. When you're lacking it or depleted of it, you need to contend for it. I'm telling you, I've remember in being in bands and in our band when writing music and bringing a concert to a close, the closer song, the altar call song, and writing things that the Spirit of God could move through. When you know anointing, you know it. When you feel anointing, you feel it. And it changes the atmosphere of that venue. We had songs that we wrote and contending, God, make us anointed, make us effective. And when we didn't feel that, we didn't settle for that. When that was missing, I remember becoming an altar call preacher and preaching altar calls where I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I sensed the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I began to identify and recognize. And that is something I've contended for. In preaching, in witnessing, in counseling, in encouragement, in fill in the blank, everything I'm doing, God, make me anointed. You can ask for it. Thirdly, then, when you receive it, how do you keep it? How do you grow it? Is live right. You live right not for anointing. Like, God, I've prayed 1,000 hours. I've met the minimum quota for anointing, or I've witnessed to X amount of people, or I've prayed with. So make me anointed. God, you owe me because of the things I'm doing. No, you don't live right for it, like earning it. You live right to protect it. When God begins to deposit it into your life, righteous living protects the gift. And God says, I see I can trust you with more effectiveness, greater influence, greater impact. Let's read Matthew 13:12.
For whoever has, to him more will be given. and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him.
Okay, whoever has will be given more, or uses what he has, protects what he has, guards what he has, more will be given, and you will have an abundance. That's what we need, an abundance of anointing. That God fill these vessels, these lives, with his Spirit and anointing. Fourthly, then, expect it. Expect it. Look for anointing. Expect it at every event. Why? Why couldn't we have anointing at a family fun day? Why couldn't we have anointing at a wedding? Why couldn't we have anointing at a funeral service? Why couldn't we have anointing in our witness? Why couldn't we have anointing in our music that we are doing? Why couldn't we have anointing in a play that's being put on? Why can't we have anointing in every service? We can, and we should look for it. We should expect it. Pastor Greg says, in life, you will have what you can live with. If you can live without anointing, then that's where you'll live. If it's all about professionalism, if it's all about emotionalism, if it's all about charisma, if it's all these other things, again, those are tools, those are helps. But they're not anointing, but you will have what you can live with. Samuel knew what he was going to do. He goes to the house of Jesse. I know here's where God has guided me. I know I'm here to anoint a king. Do you think he was surprised when David was anointed with the Holy Ghost? I don't know what that looked like. But no, he would have known what anointing looked like. I know I'm here to anoint a king. And when he anointed him and the Holy Ghost rushed upon him, do you think Samuel was surprised? Whoa, the Holy Ghost just came on. I was not expecting that. No, I think he was expecting it. I think he was fully expecting. Because this is what God has sent me to do. So when we are going where God wants us to go, when we are doing what God wants us to do, it should not be surprising that there's anointing. Whoa, how did that work? Whoa, that was crazy. No, we should expect it. Why? Because it's in us already. It's in us already. It's at work already. It's happening already. And so that is what we need, divine effectiveness. Okay, good. Let's open it up for some questions. Something you want to ask? Yep, Ben.
So is there like obviously, you know, the messaging and the anointing, you know, is there like certain things that you have found that like if your message is focused here, then there's like a different level of anointing that God places? The event, the altar call, the testimony.
Yeah, well, the Holy Ghost moves through Scripture, through the Word of God. So when you're witnessing, right, the Bible says the Spirit of truth will guide you into truth. So when you're witnessing, you need to use the Word of God so the Holy Ghost can move on that person and guide them to revelation, to truth. Salvation in your altar call. You need to have guys preaching altar calls. You need to declare the Bible says, God says, and you say the Scripture, right? So the Holy Ghost moves through that. So anything like specific as far as topics or ideas, no. I mean, I've seen anointing happen in the most funny scenes, you know. We did years ago a play, a super fairy tale. We did it here. We did it in New York. But I remember the first altar call, or one of the first few altar calls, Pastor Tim Miller came and preached. This is superheroes, Disney princesses, right? Four Disney princesses seeing At Last I See the Light. You know, this cover song. But just the writing and the people seeing it, there was anointing through them. And it's this funny cover, but heaven falls. Tim preaches an altar call. I think I still have the picture. Like 40 plus people respond for salvation. Like, Right, Snow White just saying, at last I see the light, and people are weeping at the altar. That doesn't make sense, but that's anointing. That's the point is when it's in you and at work in you, God makes it effective, whatever that is, right? Altar calls, and you're preaching the gospel in it. You're declaring it. I remember years ago, Ben, altar call preacher preached a Saturday night concert. And, you know, as a disciple, you're kind of there and everything's awesome. And, you know, you're going with the flow. And they preached. And the next morning, we came to Serious Men. And Pastor Greg said, last night in the altar call, not a single scripture was used. Not a single verse from the Bible. And I remember being there like, oh, it wasn't? Like, I mean, I just wasn't fully aware. So then he began to challenge us. In that, you need the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, to move through that. And then he starts asking us, give me a scripture on forgiveness. You, give me a scripture on this. And then he points at me, Jesse, give me a scripture on sin. And I just froze. I was like, I don't even know what that word means. I don't think that's in the Bible. God doesn't talk about sin. You know, it just, I froze, but it wasn't in me. There was a lack, right, at that time. So it doesn't mean you have to know every detail, but the point is it in you? And the Holy Ghost can guide you and direct you. And so with it, we need the Word of God ultimately in us and in what we're doing, right? Witnessing, altar calls, of course, sermons, etc. So, yeah, good.
Could you clarify that?
Yep.
The feeling of anointing versus getting stuck in that.
Very good. Yes, that's a good question. It's one thing to say we felt God. It's another thing to say we felt and saw God. Right? So, if I felt God, how do we see God in people's life, people getting saved, in people getting healed, in people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, in people receiving a word of knowledge? In a prophetic tongue that speaks to something very, very, very specific that God is making plain. So you might feel something, and to a degree it may be emotional, to a degree, but what's the fruit of it? What does it produce? That's the point. And so, you know, there would be times where we sang a song called The Cost in our band, wrote this song, The Cost, All You Ever Wanted. And there was a third song, I don't remember the title of it offhand, but these three songs, God moved through them. And there was, we would play, and man, I would feel this rush. I don't know how to explain it, Micah, but it was, I knew, and it was like playing with a passion, but with a gratitude, and it's like, people are gonna get saved. People are gonna get saved. And man, we would play some concerts where it didn't seem like anything was happening. But we get to that altar call song, heaven comes down, and to see 7, 10, 12, 14 people responding to an altar call, that's anointing. Right? So you look at the fruit of it. Good. David?
You might have already answered it, but are there accurate ways to gauge whether anointing is there?
Yeah.
So there is resistance sometimes.
Sure.
Does that mean you're not anointed?
No. Resistance means what can you live with? So yeah, was every concert a raging success? No, but when we saw in our band, like we took it seriously as a band, if we closed the night and people didn't get saved or there wasn't anointing, we took responsibility for that. We didn't say as a band, that was the altar call preacher, that was so-and-so, that was so-and-so's fault. No, it's like we contributed to the lack. So let's believe God, we're going to contend for fruit. We're going to fast together as a band. We're going to contend together as a band. As an altar call preacher, you know, again, in my early altar call preaching, probably my first two or three altar calls, people were getting saved, but they weren't raising their hands when I was preaching. That was a dominion issue. So people are getting saved. There's anointing. The message was clear. It was clear. It was effective. But not getting hands raised, that was dominion. But I didn't settle for that. Hey, at least people are getting saved. That was not my attitude. No, I'm contending. God, make my anointing greater for those hands raised, for that dominion element. Right? So yes, you can you'll have what you can live with. So you might have a degree of anointing, right? But I want to see the full picture. I don't want to see just people raise their hands and pray. I want to see them raise their hands, pray, get converted, fall in love with Jesus, get baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, get involved in ministry, start tithing. I want to see them. I want to see the whole package. All right. I want all of what God has for them. So you're contending for that. And then it makes your words with weight. You know, I've had people, man, when you were witnessing to me, you said, or people, when you were preaching and when you said, or in counseling, you told me. That's anointing. It's not just, you know, clever sayings or phrases. It's anointing. Good. Yeah, Tony?
How does contending look like when you were looking for more hand raise?
Yeah. Yeah, so contending is specific prayer, number one. I'm talking with Pastor Greg about it. As a disciple, you know, I'm seeing people saved. They're just not raising their hands. How do I get dominion was specifically the idea there. But it's a little bit hand in hand, isn't it? And so he said, number one, pray specific. So I prayed, God, in my next altar call, I want 7 hands raised. Why did I choose 7? Well, because we were having between 5 and 10 people saved a night. And I felt like 7 just seemed okay, right? It was, sure. So I contended that way specifically. Pastor Greg had said, you can go and evangelize personally outside of normal evangelism and say, God, no matter who I pray with or don't pray with, I'm asking you bless this and apply it to my altar calls. So I was doing personal evangelism. I remember going in that window of time to Harkins Theater area on my own when it was a little more booming. I went to Safeway and Prescott Valley and Family Dollar all up and down there witnessing to people on my own. I went to Fry's on my own, just different times going and witnessing and saying, I'm contending for this. He said, you could give an offering. Say, God, I'm giving in faith that you're going to bless this other arena. And I gave an offering in that. And so in all of those, my next altar call, we had 4 people raise their hand for salvation in an early altar call. As the night was going, I just felt stirred. And I said, there's visitors here right now. Let's pull the altar call. Asked the concert director. He said, go for it. I preached the altar call. 4 people prayed. It was probably 3 more songs left in the night. And he's, you know, behind the curtain like, do you want to keep going or stop? And I was like, let's keep going. So I said, we're going to keep going tonight. We've got 3 more songs, blah, blah, blah. Band played. I pulled a second altar call. More visitors came in. And would you know it, 3 more responded for salvation. That was a reference point. You're going to have what you can live with. So if you can live with, I got to hold the mic and declare some words, then that's where you'll live. If you can live with weekly evangelism and no fruit, then that's what you'll have. You'll be faithful, which is great, and doing a good work. If you can have, I pray with people, but that's as far as it goes. If you can live with that, then that's what you're going to have. So in contending, no, I want the anointing that breaks the yoke. As it says in Isaiah, that anointing, it shatters what keeps people bound. What keeps people broken? What is keeping people from living for God? You need that anointing. Yeah. Kenny?
So, I just want to understand a little better the difference between anointing and dominion. Because in my mind, I feel like anointing, when God comes down and just, in my mind, it seems like it's just a word. But you said something about dominion, we're going to take dominion.
Yeah.
What's
so,
the difference really in that?
Yeah. Is there really a difference? They go hand in hand, Kenny. Right? It's not like you can have dominion without anointing. You could have a degree of anointing without greater dominion. Right? So if they're kind of 2 sides of the same coin. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. So you might not fully understand what percentage of anointing do I have versus my percentage of dominion. No, I'm not seeing it. And I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not, you know, in my witnessing. You ever been witnessing, Kenny, and it feels like everything's just falling to the ground? Like it comes out of your mouth and just, it drops and dies. The person listening to you is annoyed, aggravated, you know, you done? Like, okay, give me the flyer. That, you're missing anointing. You're missing a dimension. Sure, it could be a dimension of dominion, but it could be a dimension of anointing. They are hand in hand. So with it, though, you've had those witnesses where you're speaking and they're locked in and they're engaged. And you want to pray, yes, this is what I need. Like God visits that. That's Holy Ghost, right? That's what we need to contend for. That's what we should be looking for and expecting. In an altar call of preaching altar calls in concerts or at a special event, is there a degree of anointing? Right? We've been in the park. Park outreaches are coming up again. Right? We've been downtown at the courthouse. You make noise till dark. You play a dated movie that is just terrible. You know, at least it has some thematic, you know, gospel in it. And your altar call preacher finds a theme and delivers the gospel. And anointing falls on that park. And people respond. That's what we need. That is a work of the Holy Ghost. So they're a little bit hand in hand. It's not like I have to fully understand dominion to fully understand anointing and vice versa. No, I know what I should be expecting. I know what I should be seeing based on God's word. Yep. It rushed upon David, the Bible says, and like we discussed, and it touched every arena of his life. Yeah. Good. Yeah, Lem.
Pastor, so would you say from what you've seen, when you talk about plays and you talk about bands or even just preaching, that it's linked to what God is doing or giving you a direction, like being sensitive to, let's say you were planning to go this way, but in prayer God is directing you another way, or you just get prompted or quickened to go a certain direction? Is it linked to just your sensitivity to what God is doing in that moment? Is there a link between the two?
You know, I mean, maybe. I'm trying to think it through scripturally. But at the end of the day, you know, yeah. So think about this. It's kind of both, though, Lem. Like, Samuel knew what he was going to do. And when he went in his prepared revelation, he was prepared for that. It's not like he got there and it's like, God's like, anoint David. Oh, I didn't bring the oil, you know? No, he knew already, was prepared in advance. Versus Peter, on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't a moment, wasn't it? It was momentary, off the cuff. So it can be both, where God prepares, or where God anoints what you have prepared. That's what's happening here, right? In this lesson, this was prepared a week and a half ago. But God will bless it. God is helping people. What I'm preaching this morning was prepared in advance. And I'm believing God to anoint it and use it, right? But then there are sometimes in a witness, in a word of knowledge, these moments where it is off the cuff and being sensitive to God. So, yeah, it's just at the end of the day, you know, when you are in tune and knowing what you are contending and believing for and expecting, God can direct you or redirect you, right? So maybe a little bit of both there. Yeah, good. Yeah, Ben.
So what is it about those times, like sometimes, I mean, that's always the focus, right? Like going outreach and Brian will share scripture with us, encourage us, and you know, it just feels from the get-go we're going to have a good time to go out there, maybe we pray with people. You know, the altar, the prayer room in the 180 was awesome. You can feel the presence of God. Feel some like a level of dominion and stuff. And then you have the concert, and you might not see visitors, or there might be some visitors, but nobody raises their hand. So what should we be looking at that point? If
exactly.
We feel like we've done all the right things, right?
Yeah.
And yet we're not seeing the result.
Sure.
What do we put?
Absolutely. What do you do with that? That's something that Pastor Greg would challenge us and what are you going to do about it? So it goes back to number one, what we're talking about, the expectation, right? All the mechanics of the concert are in place, but we didn't see what we were expecting. So it might be fasting. It might be, you know, taking things into your personal hands and saying, no, I'm not living with that. I'm not settling for that. As disciples, when we saw a lack, and Pastor Stephen would remember this, we would make time that week, and as disciples, altar call preachers, we're praying through 180. Because that's what our pastor taught us. We're praying around the building outside. We're laying hands on seats. We're laying hands on equipment. You know, we're casting out everything we can think of and asking God to give us everything we can think of, you know. But it was a response. It was a spiritual response. And again, you will have in life what you can live with. So what happens is sometimes people will get that, those results, right? Or lack of results. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, that's just great band, great sound, great videos, great dramas, great. And they're content there. But when you're not content, when you're not satisfied, no, I know what I'm expecting to see. I know my reference points in the concert. I know my reference points of discipleship. I know my reference points of outreach and evangelism, right? So there was an expectation put into us. And it comes back to this. You need anointing. I've played in our band. There was a church in the valley that they were in the middle of a district that was like industrial. There's like no businesses around. They're all industrial buildings. It's like, why are we here? Like, and then it was this winding way to get there. And in the prayer room, man, it just was, you know, a small work, some odd bods in there. But when you're in a small work and there's some odd bods in there, it feels like everybody's an odd bod. It's like, I'm not sure where we are right now. But we as a band, after prayer, I said, let's go back. Remember that gas station we saw? Let's go back. Let's go invite people to this concert. So we went, you know, out to where we found some civilization. We prayed, God, draw people. We outreached the area. We went back, started playing. Throughout the concert, young people started coming in. It was like, you know, we're watching this happen. We get to the altar call, 8 young people respond to it. We're like in the desert in our minds, right? We're in the wilderness, but God drew them out. That's anointing. That's Holy Ghost, right? John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, and yet people are coming. Jesus, they're coming. Why? Because there was an anointing. That's what Christ means, doesn't it? The anointed ones. And as followers of Christ, we are his anointed ones. So we should be contending for that. So you'll have in life what you can live with. So it's a personal response when you're not seeing it. That's unacceptable. That is not, I'm not living with that.
So what is your, like right now, where we are, what is, when you're going into 180, what is your, like just as a reference?
Sure, absolutely.
What are you wanting to see in like,
yeah, good.
180,
yeah.
That you didn't see?
No, well, not what I didn't see. It's more, I like your question. What do I want to see? I want to see anointed dramas. I want to see anointed testimonies. I want to hear anointed music. I want to hear anointed preaching. And I want to see a response to the altar call. That's what I want to see. I want to see visitors drawn. In church today, I want to see, I expect to see visitors. I expect to see people saved. I expect to have an altar space where people encounter God. Often you'll hear me pray, Lord, let the altar today be a place of deliverance, salvation, healing, a meeting place with you. Anoint me with an anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, of sin, of, you know, fill in the blank. I've got my personal things I fought through and fought for. So those are things I'm expecting, right? And so, yeah, again, you'll have duds in life. That's Pastor Greg used to tell us, you know. And it feels hard because it's like, so are we going to have duds and that's okay? Or should we not have duds and it's never acceptable? You know what? But life, you don't win everything. But your response is what matters. How do I respond to it? So those are things I expect, right? And I expect at the close of the night that a song usher in the presence of God. Closer just before the altar call. Because those dynamics are very key. And so, yeah, if I'm not seeing visitors, then how do I get visitors in? If I'm not seeing people saved, then why didn't that happen? Right? What am I going to do about it? And that's what Pastor Greg would challenge us, not just as a whole, but personally. What am I going to do about it? Yeah, good. Very good question. Good, good, good. All right. Yes, sir.
How important, how critical is it to memorize Scripture and be filled with the Holy Spirit?
How important is it to memorize Scripture and
to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
So just so I'm understanding, are you asking based on how much Scripture you know determines how much Holy Ghost you have?
No, is it important to have Scripture in there memorized so that you can use it?
Absolutely. Yes, it is necessary. You might not know the exact verse, right? You sometimes you get altar call preachers and they're new and they've written down, and in the Bible says in Romans 3, no, in it says it in Roman, and they get caught up there. Exactly. Right? So it's not like you have to have chapter scripture. The Bible says all have sinned, all fall short of the glory. The Bible says you must be born again, right? But you have to have some scripture in you. Yes, absolutely. It's got to get in there. So I didn't have the level of scripture I have in my life today. It wasn't there the moment I started preaching altar calls. In fact, I share the testimony, the story. There was things my wife and I would talk early in our marriage and say, well, the Bible says, and I'd be like, the Bible doesn't say that. And literally, there was times, conversations, it says it right here. I was like, okay, the Bible does say it. I didn't know. So it's just the level, it wasn't all there, but I was in pursuit of it, and God was blessing, God was equipping, God was enabling beyond myself, which is why I said, it takes where you are right now and makes it beyond yourself. And that continues, right? That continues. Pastor Greg, we hear him say, I want to be a better preacher, a better man of God than I am right now. And we hear that and go, how's that possible? But it's the growth and development of anointing.
Yeah.
So that is very much, you got to get the Word of God in you. You must have a daily intake of it. Very good. Very good. I just want to do one last thing, and I'm going to stop the recording here, and you can...